Welcome to today's message with Pastor Dilly Oshumakinde.
I've taught extensively over the years that when God is asking you a question, it's because he doesn't know the answer. I mean, it's not because, I beg your pardon, he doesn't know the answer. It's because he wants you to think in a particular way. So once in a while, the all-knowing God will look at a man. And this is it. And let me tell you something about the book of the prophet. Especially those of us who are New Testament word people. Whatsoever is written in the book of the prophet is neither Old Testament nor New Testament. The book of the prophet cuts across the Testament. As a matter of fact, if you read Ephesians, one of the things we are told is that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and what? The prophet. And in that regard, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So the New Testament, what's the foundation of the New Testament? The foundation of what? Apostles. And what? Prophets. The foundation of what? Apostles and the prophet. So if you read the whole of the New Testament, every New Testament doctrine came out of the book of the prophets. You will see Paul over and over again quoting Isaiah. In fact, there was a book that formed the framework of the New Testament, is the book of prophet Isaiah. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ himself quoted Isaiah much more. So when we're reading the prophet, we're looking at eternal counsels of God. Of course, we interpret it in the light of the New Testament. And I'm coming to that. And when God said, will a man rob me? He looked at them and said, yet you have robbed me. That means he said, people are almost doing the impossible. And the people also have a say. They say, in what way have we robbed you? You know, I said, whenever God is asking you a question, it's because he's trying to kickstart a dialogue. He wants you to also respond. And God didn't miss what at all. God said, in tithes and in offerings. You know, the disservice we have done to that scripture is that most of the time, 99% of the time when it's being quoted, people only quote it in reference to tithes. But people don't remember offering. God is committed to both. And the reason why we are teaching this again is this. We're going to get that in a moment. Can we turn to Romans chapter number 11, verse number 16? About 3 minutes more. Romans 11. Why is this significant? The only part of this scripture, now listen, that you can take away is that you are cursed with a curse. We all know that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But you see, we're not dealing with the curse of the law this morning. We're dealing with the essence. What is he trying to say here? Why would God look at human beings? God, and God will say, you are robbing me. I feel robbed. And even the people were not sure. They had to answer back. Say, how did we rob you? You are the Almighty God. Is it possible to rob you? And God said eternally that there are two ways people rob him. In tithes and in offerings. Please don't be afraid. Like I usually say every time we are teaching about finances, we are not raising funds. So it's not about raising money. We don't do that here. So we're not going to do any of those. But we need to establish what we're saying. So when God feels robbed, what is it that gets to God that is communicating eternally from the book of the prophet and is making it to? So that means in Christ Jesus, the curse is removed. You are not cursed with a curse. We know. This is the prophetic side of Titan. So it's now beginning to show us that that doesn't still change the fact that people rob God. Now, look at Romans 11, 16. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Why do we give tithes and offerings in church? Because at times people do some of these exercises, just like I said on Thursday. Maybe they'll play the video for us towards the end of the week about confession. People do this thing mentally. Jesus was the first person to define money. in scripture. You know what Jesus called money? Unrighteous mammon. Money is not righteous. Money is not holy. The only way you make money holy is to make the first fruit holy. And the only way the first fruit is holy is tithing. You are not hearing what I'm saying? You know, before we have taught that, oh, if, you know, we say the character of whosoever is handling money is what money will assume. That is contrary to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus called money unrighteous mammon. Look at where you are being paid. Look at how you are being paid. Look at the World Global Finance Corporation or Global Finance, what do you call it, system. There is no unrighteousness anywhere more than global economy. What you call economy today that is giving us sources of income is unrighteous. Your company is existing today, like we don't want to mention names, but you know the person I'm pointing to. Like some of these companies exist because some people are crying. Did you just heard? You just heard what happened? The judgment that came out on Friday, Securities and Exchange Commission, about a particular company that they barred the CEO and all the people in the board for 5 years from holding any public office. That's how businesses are done in Nigeria. Businesses are done in Nigeria in an unrighteous mammon. People in around China, companies cook books. Most of the report companies give, they are doctored. And in this system, in this climate for that matter, only very few companies that can be declared righteous. And even the money that passes through their hand, even if they are righteous, is coming from unrighteous sources. Some people are in prison today so that some companies can. Now, look at what happened to the defunct Intercontinental Bank. Now, 11 years after now, they took the bank from Erastus Akinbola. They are yet to convict him. So it's as if in court, out of court, at the end of the day now, the court does not even know what to do. And yet, a whole bank was taken from a man unjustly, and it became Access Bank. I was a customer of Intercontinental Bank, slept as a customer of Intercontinental Bank, woke up the following morning, became a customer of Access Bank. Over what? Over nothing. So unrighteous mammon. And the Lord is saying, look, it does not matter where your money is coming from. Even if you're a righteous man, it is an unrighteous source that is producing it. That is not the kind of money God wants you to have. So God has put in place a system to make it holy. And the only way to make it holy is how? Is the first fruit is holy. That means once believers tithe and give offerings, what you are trying to do is that, Lord, the source is unrighteous. It's just like you have polluted water and you want to drink it. What do? You sieve it. You take it through a system that will make the water comfortable. I mean, what do we call that process? You purify it. That is the word. You see, but the problem is that a lot of believers don't understand that the financial system is unrighteous. So they want to flow with the system without sanctifying their own part of it. You see, the system is never designed to promote you. The system is designed to demote you. Because a righteous man touching that which is unrighteousness, by default, will become unrighteous. And that is why you see all that people do to get money. Because they are locked in a system. And the Lord is saying, look, I understand how these things work. And that is why I have created a counterculture, a counter economy. That once you are part of that, even though you are spending naira and kobo or pound sterling or dollars or whatever it is, you are made the first fruit holy. And once the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Do we get that? This is why we give. This is why we tithe. I know of late there was a disturbance in the body of Christ that people started teaching tithing is no longer New Testament and all sorts. See, don't listen to those kind of teachings. They don't take us anywhere. This, it cannot be more New Testament than this. How about the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew, what is that? Let's look at that and we'll start the meeting. How about the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? What did he say? Matthew 23. Hallelujah. Is somebody here? 23:23. So it's very easy to remember. Just remember 23:23. Now, this is the word of the Lord. And he said, "What you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe on mint, anise, and cumin, and neglected the weightier matters of the law." What are the weightier matters of the law? Justice, mercy, faith. Now, look at the Lord talking now. Read the next statement for me. Come on, I need some energy in the room, please. What is this you ought to have done? And in the context of that statement, we all did GS or GNS. You neglected what? Justice, mercy, and faith, but you are tithing. So justice, mercy, and faith you ought to have done, and not to neglect the order. What is the order? Is this clear enough? This you ought to have done and not neglect the order. Let's go to Hebrews 7 and raise the case there. Because in the New Testament, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can be given, you can be tithing. If you don't know the word basis for it, it is not still acceptable. You must know. What, you see, the New Testament, everything is rooted in knowledge. You must know. So it's not just a church culture. It's a kingdom thing. You must know why you are doing what you are doing. And the day you know, nobody can talk you out of it. The reason why people were easily swayed by that wind of doctrine that came about year before last year is because they didn't know. You think after many years of becoming born again now and tithing, somebody can tell me tithing is wrong and I will listen to you? No, you can't tell me that. And so many of the fathers in the church, you can't tell us that. Because not only do we have testimonies, not only do we have proofs, not only do we have scriptural basis for it, it's now. Let's quickly, because I don't want to intend to make this teaching. I need to round up now. One of the arguments that the hyper grace people brought to the church was that there's no mention of tithing in the New Testament. And I'm like, how can you say that? Now, we just read Matthew 23, now where the Lord himself endorsed it. Now, in Hebrews 7, the whole of Hebrews 7, see, Hebrews started on a note. Hebrews 1 showed us the superiority of Jesus to that of angels. Hebrews 2 showed us the superiority of Jesus to Moses. To that of angel because he's God, to Moses because Moses is a servant in the house, he's a son over the house. By Hebrews 7, he was showing us the superiority of the order of Melchizedek over and above the Aaronic order. And the basis of that argument to show that the Melchizedek order was greater than that of order of Aaron was Titan. That's the basis of the argument. We don't have time now. I can't get into all this. But what is he trying to say? Let's look at this and let's gain understanding. In Genesis 14, when the first tithe was paid, I think the only thing I will agree with, which I've taught over the years, is that in the New Testament, you don't enforce tithing. Look, the moment I tell you you have not tithed or I compel you to tithe, you lose the essence already. Because Melchizedek never demanded tithe from Abraham. Abraham gave without being told. So you see, this idea of having tithe card, monitoring the tithe of people, is taking it too far. You don't need that. I think those are the excesses, and I can understand. See, those excesses are there, but it does not take away from the substance. Now, let's look at the substance. Two things happened in Genesis 14. Melchizedek brought bread and wine. And Paul wrote later in the New Testament, he said, whenever you eat communion, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. So every time the Lord's death is proclaimed, every time people receive the sacrament of bread and wine, On the faith lane, how do they respond? They respond by tithing. So that means, as far as the order of Melchizedek was concerned, two things are very important. Number one, communion. Number two, tithing, right? We saw the two in Genesis 14. In Genesis 14, it's not Old Testament. Genesis 14, according to Hebrews, we were made to understand that the law was 430 years later, after God established the covenant with Abraham. Genesis 14 is on the faith lane. What people call the Old Testament, which is the law, came 430 years after that scenario. So Genesis 14 was not part of the Old Testament. Genesis 14 is on the faith lane. Because today, even us, we are the seeds of Abraham. Abraham is our example of faith. He's our father of faith. The faith story is not included in the Old Testament. The faith story is not part of the law. The faith story came before the law. The law was just like God wanted people to stay on the faith lane, but they were missing it. The Bible said the law came later because people were transgressing. So it was like it was not part of the package. But God knew these people were not ready for Jesus and that Jesus will not come. So he had to establish a religious order that is devoid of grace and truth to keep people in the way. That's why the Bible calls it a schoolmaster. So tithing under the law is the one that is by compulsion. Tithing on the faith lane was never demanded. That means if you look at superiority over angels, superiority over Moses, what you are doing when you are tithing is Hebrews 7:7. You are establishing the superiority of God over you. That means you are saying, I'm not alone. Like Liverpool. I don't watch football, it's my son. He was one that he just came and would not allow me to rest yesterday. I was in my study. Because I don't subscribe to DSTV again. I consider it as a waste of money. I was like, Daddy, you have to subscribe. I said, I'm not subscribing. I said, there's a site. Myself and Timmy came and they were on my laptop. Eventually, I had to fall. I said, what is that? He said, Liverpool is playing. And the dude stood there like, watching and I'm like, oh my God. I'm not interested in all this. But I had to just enjoy the moment with him. For the sake of tomorrow. Praise God forevermore. So, two things. Communion. So when Christ came, that is what Hebrews 7:7 is telling us. He came as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The first time Melchizedek showed up, he gave communion. Before Christ came, who else gave communion? Nobody. Because it's from that order. The night he was to die, what did he do again? He instituted the covenant of communion. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. For as long as you do it, you are showing forth the Lord's death. Who did it first? Melchizedek. So if you take communion, why are we abandoning tithe? There are two things that happened there. You can't just take one and leave the other. So if Christ is an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and in that order, they give communion. Those who are the receiving end of that order, how do they respond? Tithing. So is that communion in church today? Yes. How dare anyone that is thinking right to now begin to attack tithing? How dare you? So let's remove communion also and just yank it off too. And say it's an Old Testament ritual. But the Lord said, just like my grandmother before she died told my father how she would want them to be remembering her every year. So when the Lord was about to die too, he said, I don't want you to put my face on a plastic and say in memoriam, the Lord Jesus Christ, AD something, something. He said, the way I want to be remembered is when you are eating communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Because you are enacting an order. It's called the order of Melchizedek. And the first man of faith to receive this communion in remembrance of him responded in a particular way. How come in remembrance of him we receive communion but we don't want to respond? I will say we're on the faith lane. I mean, you just look at it logically. Does it add up? Does it make sense? Hebrews 7. The Bible now tells us that Christ is actually the fulfillment of what happened in Genesis 14. And look at what happened. Just one verse there. We met Abraham from the slaughter of kings and Give me the verse. I said, here mortal men receive time, but there he received them of whom it witnessed that is alive. So Jesus said, when you take the communion, you are showing forth the Lord's death. What's the meaning of that? That means you are showing forth his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the whole essence of communion. You are communing with the Lord. You are declaring the finished works of Christ. And when Abraham, our father, who was the only person in the Bible, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, who have our own type of DNA. Because anyone that is of faith today is a seed of Abraham. Abraham is our father. So he's the role model on the faith lane. So, and Jesus looked at the father and said, you say you are seed of Abraham. How can you say you are seed of Abraham when you cannot do the works of Abraham? There are things called the works of Abraham. And look at it. Here mortal men receive tithes. He was talking about the order of making, the Aaronic order. He said, but there, talking about the Lord Jesus now, he receives. He didn't say received. What is receives? Present, continuous. He received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. That means not to tithe is to say Jesus is dead.
Wow.
Can it be clearer than that? This is New Testament. I'm not reading from Deuteronomy. Mortal men, because he's comparing Aaronic with Melchizedek, receive tithes. Said, but he receives them, talking about Jesus, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So every time I'm tithing or communing, I'm witnessing. Said, do this in remembrance of me, that he lives, that he lives, that he lives. And you know what? When Melchizedek hit, and when Abraham hit that tangent, Melchizedek looked at him and said, blessed be the Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he said, blessed be the Most High God who delivered your enemies into your hand. That means tithing established the partnership between the believer and Christ. So Melchizedek made Abraham to know, he said, all these enemies, it was the Most High God that delivered them into your hand. So Abraham took what is filthy, made the first fruit holy, and the rest became holy. And Melchizedek testified, that is the blessing of the Most High God. And that's why Abraham looked at the king of Sodom, said, take whatever you want. You do not have what it takes to make me rich. Because Abraham now understood that it is only what God has blessed that is blessed. I rest my case there. So if you like, continue arguing. That's your amen. Have we made it very clear?
Yes, sir.
So every time I give and I tithe, I'm saying he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
For more online messages, check us out at www.soundcloud.com/TV.